If you brought your Bibles, would you open them? We're in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. If you're visiting, you didn't bring a Bible for some reason, you forgot it, there's one in the seat back in front of you. It's the same version I'll be using this morning, but we are in Luke, chapter 2 today. Luke 2. And let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this morning, and Lord, what a wonderful time of celebration. Lord, this time of year is a special one because we get to remember the extent of your love as Jesus came to this world. He gave up his throne in heaven to become a humble servant here on earth so that one day, Lord, we have the faith that we will receive a throne in heaven. And that's only possible because of what Jesus has done for us. And Lord, we pray that as we open up your word and we read these very lines, these words, this text, this story, the account of the birth of Jesus, that it would fill our hearts. We pray that we would grow in you, that we would come closer to you, that you would be the focus of all of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk about peace this morning. Peace is something that a lot of people are looking for, but statistically, very few people find. A lot of people struggle with anxiety this time of year. We're told to be happy and jolly and merry, but for a lot of people, it's a hard time. They look on TV and we see shows and movies and commercials that show us happy couples and lots of presents and family time and puppies and great dinners and feasts. And for some people, it's a very joyous time, but for others, it highlights the struggles of their life. Maybe their family doesn't talk to each other, and so this is a very contentious time. Maybe they can't afford Christmas shopping, and as they see the commercials with all the gifts, they feel guilt. Maybe their marriage is going through a rocky season in life, and for a lot of people, this can be one of the most anxious times of year. Did you know, according to the Anxiety and Depression Association of America, about 40 million adults in the U.S. actually suffer from chronic anxiety? And anxiety remains the number one mental illness in America. People who deal with that are statistically 5 times more likely to become physically sick, 6 times more likely to be hospitalized. And yet 2/3 of all people who struggle with this will never get any help. It's really too bad because not only is help available, but statistically people are looking for it. Many of you know that Amazon has become an online conglomerate. It is one of the largest retailers in the world, and it's all digital. Well, people go to Amazon for shopping and book reading and all kinds of things. TV now is available through Amazon. They'll bring groceries to your home. Well, they track all the data that they receive. One of the biggest things that they do is deciding and determining trends and watching those things. And one of the things Amazon noted was the number one most searched for and highlighted Bible verse in all of the Amazon reading is not John 3:16, which surprised me. It isn't Genesis chapter 1. It isn't anything in Revelation. It isn't even in 1 Corinthians 13 that talks about love. But rather, it comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 4. And it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding would guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." That is the number one most highlighted and read verse, according to Amazon Corporation. As it turns out, people are looking for peace. They want peace in their life, freedom from worry of their health or their finances, peace from the worry of the struggles at work, the commercialism that exists everywhere we turn our head. People are looking for peace in the world. The problem is that for too many people, they're looking for peace in something they can acquire. A lot of people have this idea that if I have a bigger house, all my problems will go away. If I had more money, then I wouldn't have the worry about finances and bills and everything that comes along with it. if I took a better job, if I went on this vacation, then all of the sudden my stress will be reduced. The problem with that thinking is there will always be something we don't have. That brand new phone will be outdated in just a few months. That new car you're driving was technically used when you signed for it. That better job will have something you don't like, whether it's the hours or the boss or some task that comes up. The world would have you believe that peace is a purchase away. But the truth is, you cannot outspend an anxious heart. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that he has put eternity into man's heart, and you cannot fill the eternal with the temporal. Oh, sure, you can buy some temporary fun. You might have momentary happiness or temporary pleasure, but very soon those feelings fade, and the person is left with the same anxiety, the same emptiness, the same stress, the same worry, the same problems that existed before. Because the truth is, spiritual peace doesn't come from physical things. That peace only comes through a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. One person put it this way: peace is not the absence of trouble, it's the presence of God in a person's life. And that's what we want to look at this morning, the peace of God in our life. We've been going through the Advent candles this season, and we looked at the prophecy candle, we looked at the love candle, we looked at the joy candle. This week, we want to look at the fourth candle, the candle of peace. And for that, I ask you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, and notice what it says beginning in verse 8. "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you: you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" If a person wants peace in life, it has to start with peace with God. And that means a personal saving relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, because the condition of that relationship will affect everything else. And the reality is, everyone has a relationship with God, whether they want to admit it or deny it, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. Every single person on earth has a relationship with God. It's up to us to determine how we want that relationship to be. The Bible says that God wants a relationship with you, that he wants a relationship with everyone. 2 Peter chapter 3 says, "The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but rather all would come to repentance." God wants a personal saving relationship with every man, woman, and child in existence. Unfortunately, not everyone wants a relationship with him. Some will receive him. Some will reject him. Some will become angry and hostile toward him. You ever met somebody who's angry and hostile toward God? I'm not talking about an unbeliever. I'm talking about a person who gets angry at the very mention of the name Jesus. They're okay with Muslims talking about Muhammad. They're okay with Mormons talking about Joseph Smith. They're okay with Hinduism and atheism and secularism and naturalism. But you mention the name Jesus, and it riles them up unlike anything else. Just knowing you are a believer is enough to trigger some people. You remember the story of Daniel in the Old Testament and how Daniel was taken from his home, Jerusalem, and he was brought into Babylon to serve the king. It was Daniel's faith that caused him to be a loyal servant that was promoted above everyone else. It was Daniel who received and was able to interpret the king's dream because of that same faith. Well, he served for many years, and eventually a king named Darius came to the throne, and his advisors were so hostile toward the Lord, they convinced him to outlaw prayer to God. And they said, "If anybody dares pray to the Lord, let them be cast into the lion's den." And so they laid and they waited, And they waited for Daniel to go home, and he closed his door, and he got on his knees, and he prayed. He wasn't bothering anybody. He wasn't trying to convert anyone. He wasn't hanging up posters in the town square. He was at his home behind his own door praying to his God. But that was too much for these advisors. They brought him before the king and they threw him into the lion's den. That's the world we live in. There are people who will be so angry at the name Jesus, they will become hostile. Does it really surprise us then that we live in a world where some 20% of the U.S. population has an anxiety disorder? And yet at the same time, we live in a world where the name of God has been systematically removed from the public arena, and the peace of God goes with it. And yet people are still searching for that peace. I've found it ironic, actually, that people frantically search for peace in their life. But they do. And they look for it in stores, and they look for it on the internet, and in other people, and in possessions, and in tangible things. But the Bible says that's not where it is. The Bible says in Isaiah 26, you keep him in peace whose mind is on you. Did you know the word they use for peace literally means a settled heart? It's an attitude of calmness about things going on. It's amazing how a settled heart can affect the rest of our life. Because when a person is at peace vertically with God, they will naturally become peaceful horizontally with others. You see, too often our relationships with other people suffer because our relationship with God isn't what it should be. If we're not at peace with God, we can't be at peace with other people. And when we're not at peace with other people, it's easy to become suspicious and accusational and to assume the worst. Have you ever walked into a conversation right at the tail end and the group kind of clams up as soon as you get there? And you assume they must have been talking about me. They must have been saying something negative. The reality is oftentimes the result of a peaceful relationship with God will be a peaceful relationship with others. And the result of no peace with God will be no peace with others. It's hard to be at peace with someone when your defenses are up all the time. But when a person is at peace vertically, when they have that relationship with the Lord, it creates peace horizontally. Now, that doesn't mean everyone will like you, but it does mean you won't be looking to them for validation. It doesn't matter what they say because you know God sees the truth. You don't have to try to outsmart your competition anymore because you know God is fighting your battles. You don't have to try and take what you need in life because God is your provider. You won't be offended with what others think about you. It won't even matter. You won't be on edge because God is your judge. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, strive for peace with everyone. There's a story of a man who was working at an office building for many years, and he was very good at his job. One day there was an opportunity to be promoted, and he put in for it. He was qualified for it, but someone else from another department put in for the same position, equally qualified, equally capable, and it turned out that the other man got the job. Well, they had an office party to celebrate, and the man who lost the position was there, and he gave a genuine toast. He bought the man a gift. He said very nice things. He was honestly congratulatory of the man who got the job he wanted. Somebody asked him, "How is it that you can be so positive toward this man who got the thing that you were so eager to have?" And he said, "Look, my faith says that one day I inherit a throne in heaven. He can have the office in the corner." In Proverbs chapter 16, it says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." It's pretty hard for someone to fight with you if you're not going to fight back. And so peace vertically will create peace horizontally. Not because it changes other people's attitudes, it doesn't change other people's behavior, but rather it changes our attitude toward them. Because the truth is, and we all know this, you may pray for somebody, you may hope they will change, you may fervently desire their life would turn around, but for some people it will never happen. They will never be for you. They will never appreciate the things you do. They'll never recognize your accomplishments. Some people will even actively work against you to make you fail. Sometimes it will be up to you to keep the peace. In Romans chapter 12, it says, repay no one evil for evil. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And sometimes it will depend on you. Sometimes the only way peace will be had is if you make it. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers because they will be called sons of God. So peace vertically will create peace horizontally. It will also create peace inwardly with yourself, with who you are. There's a lot of people at war with themselves these days. They beat themselves up over their past failures. They convince themselves that they'll never be good enough. They'll never make it. They've made too many mistakes to succeed. They're not talented enough. They're not forgivable. They're not lovable. No one likes them. They don't have enough friends. They can't compete in the world's market. Did you know statistically 85% of all people have a low self-esteem? And we're not talking about just a right view of themselves. We're talking about a lower self-esteem than the Bible would even say is healthy. But when a person is at peace with God, it brings the ability to have peace with ourselves. Peace vertically creates peace inwardly. That person might not have called you back, but you know, God always answers your prayers. You might not have been chosen for the team, but you were chosen by God. That other person might not have given me the time of day, but you know, the Bible says that God gave me his son. Might have been picked last for the team. But in the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul said in chapter 1, he chose us in him before the foundation of the earth. Someone might think we're a failure, but the Bible says in Jesus we're a victor. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus. When we're at peace vertically with the Lord, we will be at peace inwardly with ourselves. And that means we're not worried about what someone else says. We're not concerned with meeting someone else's standard. We don't bother ourselves with what other people say we should be or shouldn't be, what we should have or shouldn't have. We're at peace with what God has made us and what God has given us. Because the truth is, and we all know this in our heart, not everyone has everything. Not everyone is good at everything. Not everyone can do everything. There are limits to our ability. Everyone has something, but no one has it all. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Everyone has something, but not anyone has all of it. In the Old Testament, David was a great general under King Saul. He led Israel in battle after battle and victory after victory. He got started by defeating Goliath that nobody would dare go against. Then one day, according to God's divine will and the way he has orchestrated things, he caused David to become the king. And David continued to lead Israel in victory after victory, conquering land, expanding the borders of Israel. David loved God. He was so close to God, the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. And God loved David. The Bible says that he gave David the promise that there would never be a king on the throne of Israel that didn't come from his line. You would imagine out of a relationship like that, that God would have welcomed David's offer to build a temple. But God said no. You see, David was a wartime leader. It was not God's call on his life to be a peacetime ruler. In 1 Chronicles chapter 22, it records this conversation between David and God. It says, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, you have shed much blood and have waged great wars. You shall not build a house to my name. Behold, a son shall be born to you who shall be a man of rest. I will give him rest from all his enemies, for his name shall be Solomon. And I will give peace and quiet to Israel in his days. He shall build a house to my name. David wanted to do something he wasn't called to do. That didn't mean David was no good. It didn't mean he was a failure. He still had all the victories. He still had all the talent. It didn't mean God didn't love him. It simply meant there was something God had not equipped him to do. And because David was at peace with God, he was able to be at peace with himself and his gifts and what he had and what God called him to do and what he was good at. And so peace inwardly will settle the heart with what we've been given. It will also settle the heart with the knowledge we've been forgiven. You see, too often people forget to forget. They hold on to something that God has already let go. In Psalm 103, it says, "So far as the east is from the west, he's removed our transgressions from us." But for too many people, they keep bringing those back. They keep living in past regret, replaying their failures in their mind over and over and over like a broken record. They dwell on things like that thing they said in anger, the temptation that they weren't stronger than, when they're in the shower or driving to work or sitting down or laying down and trying to go to bed. They keep thinking about all these ways they've come up short. That thing they said they would do and forgot, that task they tried and failed at. And even after asking forgiveness and they've prayed and repented, too many people let the enemy work in their mind to keep them in shame. And that is what he wants to do. In Revelation 12, it says, "The accuser of our brothers accuses them day and night." Your enemy will work to put all sorts of negative thoughts in your mind. Things like, "You're not good enough. You'll never get past that addiction. You'll never control your temper. You'll never succeed at this job. You'll never be better than them. Your income will never increase. Your responsibility will never grow. People will always look at us as failures." That's what the enemy does. He puts these thoughts in our mind to keep us from enjoying the peace of knowing we're forgiven. David had a great sin in his life. Many of you know the story of David and Bathsheba. He had sent his armies out to fight a war, and while they were gone, he was alone, and he goes up to the rooftop of his own castle. And he looks across the road and he sees the beautiful Bathsheba and she's bathing in her upper room. And he's filled with lust and he calls and brings her to him. Her husband is one of his soldiers off fighting the war. And David brings Bathsheba to him, has an affair with her while the husband is on the front lines and becomes pregnant through this affair. Well, David wants to conceal the whole thing. He wants to cover it up. And so he brings the husband home and he says, "Hey, go into your wife." Well, the husband's character is so high that he won't, because he knows that his brothers in arms are still in the field. They're still fighting and bleeding and dying. And how dare he have the comfort of his wife while they're all at war? And so he says, "No, my king, I can't possibly do it." David sends him back with a secret letter to his commander, ordering the commander to put the husband on the front lines where he would be killed. And he is killed, and the child is born. And David thinks that he has gotten away with it. Until a prophet comes in and says, "David, you've been found. God sees everything." David confesses the sin and writes about it in Psalm 32, where he says, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, against whom the Lord counts no iniquity. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity, and you forgave me." You see, when you're at peace with God vertically, it will create peace inwardly. Peace with what we've been given. Peace with the fact that we've been forgiven. Finally, it will create peace outwardly. In other words, peace with life and the challenges life can bring. When a person is at peace with God, it's a lot easier to be at peace with life. It's a lot easier to be at peace with the stuff that goes on in the world. It's a lot easier to not get worked up over everything that comes our direction. Let's face it, there's a lot that can happen in life. Sudden illness, auto repair, an unexpected tax bill that comes in the mail. The key is to let the peace of God create a peace with life. Because we all know stuff will come up. Surprises will happen. Life will come at us. This doesn't mean none of those things will change. It does mean that when we have peace vertically, we will have peace outwardly. Colossians chapter 1 says, in him all things hold together. And when we keep that in mind, all of the rest becomes more manageable. It doesn't mean the car will never break down. It doesn't mean unexpected bills will never come into your life. It doesn't mean every relationship will go smoothly all the time. It does mean that when these things happen, we'll have a peace about it, the peace of God that surpasses understanding. This week represents the final days before the end of the year. We have 3 days until Christmas, and I know that because our children have been reminding us since we had 80 days until Christmas, and now we're down to 3. They're chomping at the bit. They cannot wait. We have 7 more days after that until the end of the year, and then 2019 will be in the books. No doubt there have been challenges in your life and things that have come up that you never expected this year. Maybe people have come into your life or left your life, or unexpected opportunities or tragedies have come your way. This year has been filled with challenges for people. And you know what? Next year will be as well. 2020 will have unexpected things. It will have trials. There will be difficulty. But if we have peace vertically, we'll have peace outwardly. And that's a peace that comes with a relationship with Jesus. It says in verse 13, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he's pleased. Peace with God will bring peace in all aspects of life. It will bring peace horizontally with others, inwardly with ourselves, and outwardly toward anything we might come across. And so it says in verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the peace we receive through Jesus. Lord, we pray that as we go into this time of year, and the challenges that can come, we pray that you would be with us. We pray, Father, that you would fill our hearts, that you would calm us, that you would remind us that while we have little control over the world around us, there is nothing that happens that is out of your control. Your word says that you use all things to the good of those who love you. Father, we pray that this year we would enjoy the peace of knowing that you're in control, that as we remember the birth of Jesus and all of the things that came into play to make that happen, we pray, Lord, that you would fill our hearts, that you would calm our souls, that as we face an uncertain future, we know that you are guiding every step of the way. The Bible says you order our steps. And so we pray that we would have peace in your plan. We thank you for Jesus and for all that he's done. And we pray that as we leave from here, we would be ambassadors of that message to the world around us. And in Jesus' name, amen.